good to have you on. You know, the focus, and it's becoming increasingly laser-like. And I think the Attorney General's recent motion, which is going to be heard when it comes to stopping employees, state employees' paychecks this week, has increased it. But tomorrow, a lot of focus on this budget and what the Senate's doing. First off, what the Senate did last week. 3 out of 4 pieces of legislation pertaining to the budget?
Right. 3 out of 4 passed. And it was a package of 13 bills that, in essence, was a marker in showing people that you can actually get work done in Springfield. It was just unfortunate that one of the bills, and it was a pension bill, failed. But it just goes to show you that, you know, Democrats and Republicans down in Springfield don't all hate each other, and they're able to work together. So 75% of the bills passed. Hey, that's a good number for Springfield, given the current environment.
But is there something there that will be able to move us forward towards a budget, towards business as it should be?
You know, my concern, and obviously I represent the south suburbs of Chicago, and, you know, we're a very moderate community, very conservative community. And, you know, the one thing we've all realized out here is that the governor actually has to propose a budget, and it has to be balanced. Now, last year, the governor proposed the budget, and there was a caveat inside that. It was called working together. That's what he had named one of his reforms. It saved right around $3 to $4 billion. But when you start diving down into this caveat in his budget called working together, there is literally no meat and potatoes to it. There's no, you know, how do you work together? You know, is it turnaround agenda linked items? So this next budget address tomorrow, he's going to have to fill an even bigger hole. And for me, it's on him to lead our state. And right now, he's not doing that.
How did you vote in those 3 out of 4 proposals last week in the Senate?
So I voted no on the pension bill, obviously, because I have a very, very high pensioner district. And there's some edits that I would like to the bill, and I made those known to the Senate president. And then the other ones I voted present on, because for me, I said, you know what, if this is going to move forward here, I want them to move forward as a total package, not just one by one. And I think you'll see as we move forward, that discussion will continue of let's vote on them all at once and let's see where people stand instead of piecemeal it one by one.
So it wasn't any about really existing reservations outside of the pension bill. It was really about a technique.
It's the process, Tom. And because, you know, you can go, you know, four bills at a time, let's put them all on the board. And let's see where people's cards are. And I know some people there, they, you know, they say they can vote for them, and then all of a sudden you call four, and then, you know, some people have reservations about voting for the rest of them. So, you know, I want to see where everyone stands on everything. I'm not going to sit here and vote on one or two or three and then wait 2 weeks. I don't think that was appropriate. I think it's appropriate to call them all at one time.
Now, here's the thing. You're head of household. You just mentioned how you got up early to take care of Mike Jr. this morning, okay? So here we are, right? And if you're head of household, you start taking a look at the monthly bills. Now, if you use a comparative analysis and you say you take a look at the Illinois bills and you transplant them onto your what it would be like in your house, you would take action, right? I mean, you'd get on that business when you saw you were this far behind the eight ball. Has that collective come to Jesus moment happened in Springfield? When you look, Fitch's just their last ruling alone is going to cost us $700 million in interest on some obligation bands. You take a look at the pensions, as I talked about earlier in this interview. You take a look at this cumulative issue back bills. You can literally keep piling on how much you have in given community colleges. Has that collective come-to-Jesus moment happened in Springfield where they say, look, we got to do something about this. Look at this stack of bills.
Oh, yeah. Every day it gets worse. It's $11 million a day that we don't do something, and that's a major cost. And I didn't get sent to Springfield just to sit on my hands. I can tell you that right now. You know, and of all people, I know what it's like to have, you know, we haven't, state legislators haven't been paid since June, so that makes, you know, that's pretty clear. So I mean, you gotta take action to balance your budget in your household, and you gotta take action to balance the budget in the state. And I think that time has come. Now the question is whether or not the governor wants to come to the table and start leading. And right now he's not. You haven't really seen him take part inside these negotiations between the Senate. And quite honestly, the Senate's the grown up in the room actually coming up with a plan, doing something. In Springfield, people always complain, oh, they don't do anything. And I think this last week is evidence enough of, hey, the Senate, we can actually get together and, you know, and have a conversation and put things on the board rather than doing nothing at all. Yeah. I think that's important.
Well, you know, as a person who has undertaken large acts of futility, that is sometimes doing something exceedingly frustrating because you don't see any headway and you feel frustrated, but you got to start somewhere.
Right.
But problem is we started somewhere 19 months ago, 18 months ago, 2 years ago. And I think that's where some of the frustration comes from as well. So tomorrow, the State of the Budget Address, is there something in particular you'll be listening to the governor's voice to hear?
Yes. So for me in the South Suburbs and across the state of Illinois as a whole, and especially in Southern Illinois, there are services that are provided to the most vulnerable people. You have those that have developmental disabilities, those that are mentally ill, senior citizens. Those three specific areas have been just decimated in by these 2 years of no budget. And in the South Suburbs, we've seen programs close. If you go down to Southern Illinois, it's the same way. That's first and foremost. Second is our education budget. Last year, we actually, given the fact that we passed the piecemeal budget, education was funded for the entire year. That's a very positive thing. I want to make sure those two areas are taken care of. And the other thing is we've got to get our finances in check. It's an embarrassing time when you go to other states and they say, hey, your credit rating's in shambles. You know, that's not the way I want to walk around. I go around the country. I'm proud of my state. And I think everyone else wants to be proud of their state, and now we have the opportunity to take action. But the governor has to lead. And if he doesn't lead, he should step aside.
Before I let you go, there are other things that are being worked on in Springfield, and one of the items that you've been working on, and I noticed that several other states have done this in the last few years. It's nice to see Illinois come to the table on this issue. This is basically a set of safe pet bills. Now, that sounds in itself like we're talking about collars are too safe. We're talking about puppy mills. It's a really a long list of items to create a standard in this state.
Right. So, first, Tom, I want to let you know the pet bills aren't the only ones I sponsor. I have a lot of veterans bills, budget bills, major civil law, comprehensive law bills. But, you know, my grandfather, he invented this thing called the skid scooper. It was a one-handed dog pooper scooper. And, you know, everyone kind of gives me some grief in Springfield for it, but it's a pretty cool story.
And I've seen it in the store. And quite frankly, I don't personally use it, but I can see we're a pretty handy little item, really.
Yeah. So, you know, when I have a great relationship with the pet industry, and this bill, for the most, just in essence, it'll protect the health and well-being of animals. And it ensures that when these pet stores sell pets and they get pets from breeders, that they're licensed breeders and they're good standing with the USDA. The other thing is making sure that pets are microchipped. We want to make sure that, you know, if you're going to sell a pet or a dog or a cat, they have to be microchipped. And we also want to reduce some of these shelter populations. And we want to enable pet stores and to be able to reclaim dogs and cats that have been given up to rescue so that they can find another home for them. I think those are all good things. And obviously, we're going to work with everybody. If there's somebody against this, you know, the one thing I've learned, especially from serving in Iraq, is that you can get a whole bunch of people together that may not agree on everything. You can get them to agree.
Yep.
And I think this is one of those areas where you can do that.
I thought it was interesting because being familiar with some of the shelters here and the work that they do and the costs they incur, that sometimes people go out and get a dog, whatever the cat, whatever it is, and become disenchanted with the process, and the next thing you know, it's in a shelter, and in this case, when they're already microchipped, somebody else's problem doesn't become a problem at the shelter, and there's some level of accountability, and that's included in this legislation as well. So that I thought was interesting because that, for some people, with the pressure financially on pet shelters, creating that accountability will hopefully control costs. That's how I felt out, you know, the little bookkeeping.
Yeah.
Thing, so. Hey, I really appreciate
about it.
You know, I want to get you back on the air again sometime soon, especially when you're talking about some of this other legislation you're working on. But you know, as Southern Illinois right now, it's our social services, it's pay the back bills. I mean, I got a friend of mine who's on his seventh mortgage to pay for the bills at the nursing home he owns. Seventh mortgage to pay the bills at the nursing home he owns, and he's wondering when this is going to end. It's just going to end with me living in a box under the overpass.
Well, Tom, let me tell you, I have a Greek wife, right? And when you haven't been paid since June, you know, she reminds you every month, hey, when are you going to pass that budget? When are you going to pass that budget? Well, let me assure you, you know, from my house to nursing homes to social service providers across the state of Illinois, I'm committed to doing that. And I'm looking forward to the next few months here to where, hey, you got to put paper to pen, and you also got to hold people accountable and make sure they're leading our state. Because right now, like I said before, Tom, if you're the governor of our state, you're supposed to propose a budget, and it's supposed to be balanced. Show us the way. And if you can't show us the way, just step aside. That's all there is.